Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
So what that means, a couple different things. First, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. For his sake, forgives you all of your sins as follower and servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Turn to the inside cover of our bulletin, and there you can find the words of the answer. Thoroughly from my iniquity. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Wash me thoroughly from my sins. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us praise you, Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us praise you, Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer years of their worship and offerings, let us praise you, the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Thank you. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defy him. But the things that come out of a person are what defy him." When he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the miracle. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all food clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the person." This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. And today, to do so using the Nicene Creed, printed on page 174, we confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God and very God, begotten, not made, in no one substance with the Father, by whom all things were witnessed, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and was made from the dead. He was crucified also before us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom is above no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the gift of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the blessed. In our sermon today is number 611, Jesus hears the Lord. Our reality is that usually, more often than not, if we do follow our hearts, listening to that voice inside of us, it's going to eventually lead to a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, not just for ourselves, but also the people that we care about that are all around us, that they will suffer because we decided we should have to follow our hearts. Now, that being said, as we get into this here, I do want to acknowledge that for the majority of this reading here in Mark chapter 7, it seems like the main conversation that Jesus is having with the crowd and with the disciples has a lot more to do with the stomach than it does with the heart. Because what's happening in first portion of the passage, when Jesus is addressing this crowd, he's talking about the Pharisaical approach to the food laws of Israel, the kosher laws, what you're supposed to eat, what you're not supposed to eat. The reality is, for about 1,500 years or so prior to Jesus having this conversation with this crowd, the common understanding among the Israelites was that eating certain foods could harm one's relationship with the Lord. So eating things like pork, eating shellfish, eating any food that was not prepared properly, this would actually cause a person to defile themselves. And that meant that they now had to atone for that sin. And if they didn't, then the risk was you could end up being completely cut off from your people. So this was pretty serious stuff. And actually, this is exactly where Jesus' own disciples were having taught since their own childhood. This is part of what it means to be an Israelite. And so that's why when Jesus just simply declares in verse 15 that there's nothing that exists outside of a person that by going into him can defile him, this literally rocks the disciples' world. They don't understand how this could possibly be the case. The opposite of what they've always been taught. And so that's why later on, when Jesus goes away from the crowd and goes into the house, and the disciples have an opportunity to talk about this with him privately, they want more explanation. They want to understand what could Jesus possibly mean by saying this. Is this just another one of his parables and riddles? What does this mean? And Jesus is that. Person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, in his respect. And that is part gives us this really great parenthetical comment that brings us to us, Jesus declared all foods clean.
Do you realize what this means? This means we get bacon! Hallelujah! Happy day! Bacon, ham, and pulled pork. What's more sausage, right? If you love to eat pork in all of its delicious and glorious forms, then you might as well choose Mark 7:19 as your confirmation verse, baby. It's awesome. But all of this talk, besides making us hungry for lunch after church, brings Jesus to his main point. It's not about food, and it's not about his stomach. It's about understanding what it is that actually does defile a person, that actually can negatively affect our relationship with the Lord and affect our standing with the Lord. What you eat or choose not to eat has really little to do with that. Unfortunately, as Jesus makes it very clear here, we're already carrying enough defilement around with us at all times, right here. Right in our hearts. We have utterly corrupt hearts that, because of our sinful natures, they have become the source of all of these terrible, ugly-sounding things that Jesus lists at the end of that reading. There's 14 things, 14 sinful things that Jesus mentions here, and there's a big, wide spectrum, because some of these things are very serious, terrible sounding things. Theft, adultery, murder on one side, but it's even simple things like pride. It is foolishness that comes from sin. And everything that you can imagine in between, it's all there, already right here in your written text. You're carrying it around in your mind. So if we understand what Jesus is saying to us there, and we take an honest assessment of the that are already in our own hearts, and it should go without saying that when the world tells you in so many ways to follow your heart and listen to your inner voice, that's actually the worst advice that anybody could give anybody. Even if a fancy green cricket with a top hat sings it to you in a catchy way. Everything your heart desires, if you live that way, seeking to follow your heart in all circumstances, following that heart right off the wolf. That's a very dangerous way to live. It's a very selfish way to live. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can just look at all the people that you know who have followed their hearts, especially at times when it seems like what their heart is telling them to do is exactly the opposite of what God tells us to do in His Word. And you can see how complex and complicated their lives become because of that. You can look at your own life. You can look at the constant decisions you make where you're following your heart and then turns out to not be what's best for you. Times when you've made dumb, impulsive decisions because that's just what felt right at the time. The world is full of individuals who have been taught from birth that the only thing that truly matters in life is that you do whatever's going to make you happy, whatever feels right to you. And what are the results of that? Church attendance is down everywhere. Meanwhile, crime rates, divorce rates, abortion rates, suicide rates, they're all up. People are lost. And they're broken everywhere. Like I said, because it's so pervasive in our culture and society, it's inevitable that that sort of language gets up creeping into the church that continues to. Sometimes, for example, you might hear a well-meaning Christian saying something like, you just gotta give your heart to Jesus. And it sounds so good, doesn't it? It sounds like someone is going to be so dedicated to the Lord in their faith that they're willing to give the best of themselves, their own heart to Jesus. How great is that? Do you realize that offering Jesus your heart is essentially the same as offering that's basically what we're being taught here in life. So, a huge part of living a life of faith and repentance is actually coming to the realization and the acknowledgement that we don't have anything of value to offer on our own, that we are utterly depraved, poor, miserable sinners. See, such sinners, just like we just said, and as inspirational as all of your favorite quotes from your favorite celebrities, and all of the Disney songs you hear, and maybe even some sermons, and you've heard it once, and you get it. But there is a blessing in that, too. There's a blessing that comes from this realization, this acknowledgement, this repentance, that when we realize that our hearts have nothing good to offer on them, that's when our Lord Jesus steps in and shows us what His heart is truly capable of. Jesus' heart is filled with so much love, so much joy over the people that He created, that He doesn't want to leave us languishing with these hearts of wickedness that are so bad that we can't listen to them, we can't follow them without causing a big, dangerous problem for ourselves. Jesus wants to give His people something so much better than that. And that's why He died for us. from is water that then flows from the side goes to cleanse your sin, to cleanse your heart, to forgive you of all the wrong that you have ever done, things you've left undone. You know, we hear these words that we had in the intro. We hear these pretty often because they are part of our liturgy. In this moment, when King David in Psalm 51, after he had followed his heart and that led him to do some really despicable things, that whole Bathsheba debacle, adultery, murder, it's terrible. But after David realizes his error, he turns to the Lord for repentance. He uses these beautiful words in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart." No matter how our hearts have led us astray in the past, Jesus has cleansed. He's removed the defilement. He's removed the corruption. He sent His Holy Spirit to wash us clean. And He does that, of course, first in holy baptism. So we are made brand new creatures when we are brought to the Father and are given the gift of water in the Word. And of course, part of being a new creation is get a new heart, that's part of it. But that's not where He leaves us. That same Holy Spirit who leads us to the Father, also that is throughout the rest of our lives, He works on us through this process that in the church we call sanctification, which is just a fancy way of saying that the Spirit makes us holy. He makes us more and more like Jesus. The more we grow in our faith, the more we hear the gospel, the more we receive the Lord's Supper, which we're about to do again in just a few moments, the more that we are given the ability to suppress the evil desires that are within our hearts and instead follow the heart of Jesus. It's a slow process. It's a gradual process. Sanctification is something that's never complete. Side of heaven. It will never be complete until the day that we stand before the Lord's throne on the last day, and the day that our Lord calls us home. But what we know is that in the end, we are no longer enslaved to that sin, corruption, in our flesh, in our hearts, in our minds, in our hands, in our tongues. We no longer have to be led astray by those sins. So instead of looking for a whole bunch of inspirational quotes from your favorite celebrities on the internet, what we can do is stick to the words that are revealed to us in Scripture by the very Lord of heaven and earth. Don't follow your heart. Don't trust your inner self to point you in the right direction. Don't wish upon a star. Trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. His heart desires. It will come. Thanks be to God. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. Updates for our prayers. First, up in care facilities, you'll notice that we have moved Dorothy Brody there. She is now going to be at the trailer here as she undergoes physical therapy. So we'll certainly pray that she gets stronger and stronger every day and is able to eventually come back home. And under ongoing health, we give thanks to God that Ronnie Jolly was able to come home. He's been in the nursing home for a while. Didn't have the hospital, but he's been great, great, and he's back home, so we certainly give thanks for that. And also, like I mentioned earlier, that we are going to have a special prayer today for this kickoff of our new Sunday school year. Please stand as we go to God. Let us pray. pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, be near us with your word and spirit. Guide and lead us that we may not stray from the way of your commandments, nor forget the wonderful blessings that you have given to us. Direct us always with your word of truth, Lord, in your mercy. Remember, kind Father, the creatures of your word. Keep them from adding to it or taking from it. Give them grace to proclaim your whole counsel of Christ Jesus. Raise up new laborers for your harvest peace and prosper your law and causes throughout the world. We ask you to bless also all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, faithful and grateful in Mount Vernon. Their pastor, Joe Weir. Lord, in your mercy. God of all knowledge and wisdom, grant us to know you in your love, bless pastors and teachers, parents and grandparents, and all teachers of the faith, that we may grow up into you. Today we give you thanks and praise for a new year of Sunday school instruction, which has now begun. Bless all of the students who come to learn about your love Sunday after Sunday. Bless our teachers and fill them with your word so that they can help to raise the sixth generation in the faith. And bless our families as they grow in love for you for one time. Lord, your mercy. Gracious God, you pray your blessings to us each and every day, and we rejoice over all you provide. Thank you for granting another year of praise to all who are celebrating birthdays, including Kirk, Anita, Keith, Janice, John, Amanda, Susan, Andy, and Don. Thank you also, Lord, for the gift of Christian marriage, and bless all who are celebrating their anniversaries, including Roger and Elaine Boozer, Steve and Michelle Romlin, and Ronnie and Marilyn Dahl. Be their rock and foundation for many years to come. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, look with compassion on our nation and all who bear public office. Give them wisdom, courage, and integrity. Destroy and hinder in our common life whatever is not pleasing to you. And bless and prosper whatever accords with your will. Guard and protect those who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Ashley, Austin, Moore, Joyce, Tandy, Jalen, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, bring health and healing to your people. We pray for everyone in need of your mercy today, including all who are on maternity, those who are in care facilities, including Dorothy, Freda, Eula, Jean, Charles, and Ben. And we look before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially in line to Thomas, Eunice, Jim, Mark, Nate, Tyson, Ronnie, Francis, Brent, Barb, John, Linda, Jeff, Wayne, Roland, Nancy, Butch, Elaine, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are facing cancer. Strengthen them with your word and grace, enable us to offer comfort in the midst of suffering and pain. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, we thank you that Christ has given his body and blood into death for our forgiveness. Bless us as we receive the same body and blood in his holy sacrament, remembering and proclaiming with joy the salvation he has promised for us in his death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1:76, and we sing the verse of the offer tonight. Broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper and looking in repentance, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Thank you. Tuesday. Which are now page 181, and we send the post to the Indian Church of Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.